Let's look in Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. Ephesians chapter 2. Before we go any further in the lesson, I want us to begin this lesson with a song. I want us to sing this song, and then we'll kind of use it as a launch pad into our lesson this morning. I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to love and trust His holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker every day. I want to lead the erring in the way. All who heaven above, where all is peace and love in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work. To be a worker strong and brave. I want to trust in Jesus' power to save. All who will truly come will find a happy home in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. You know, one of the benefits of leading singing with your eyes closed is that it helps you focus on the spirit of the words that you're singing. One of the negatives to that is if you don't remember what the actual words are, you insert words that aren't there and maybe lose your place. So there's pros and cons to everything we do. Sorry for confusing on a couple of those parts. I want to ask ourselves the question, though, as we begin. You know, this is the first lesson that I have here for this new year, and to begin it in this way with this idea in our minds. And I want us to really ask ourselves the penetrating question, did we mean that? Did we really mean that when we sang it just now? Do we really want to be workers in the kingdom? And some things that we pointed out, we made some pretty bold time references in there. I want to be a worker every day. And we made some pretty bold proclamations about the kind of work that we want to do. I want to lead the erring in the way. And I want to point people to Jesus, and I want to do that every day. I want to be involved in kingdom work every single day. It describes the kingdom, the church that we're a part of, in a couple of different ways, as a kingdom and as a vineyard. If you're working in a vineyard every single day, you're going to end up with your hands dirty. Right? We're getting involved in some things. If we're working in a garden or a vineyard or out in the yard, doing that kind of work, if we think about kingdom work in those kinds of terms, we start to realize that there's going to be a lot of effort involved in that. There's going to be a lot of sweat equity involved in that. There's going to be some some dirt that we're going to get on our hands. There's going to be a level of exertion that leads us to being tired in working like that. We said things like we want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the kingdom of the Lord. I want to suggest to you that if maybe we've never meant that song before, let's let 2023 be the year that we take it very seriously. In fact, I'm suggesting to you this morning that we adopt this song, this concept, as a theme for our church in 2023. It doesn't have to be official, just as a something that keeps us in the mindset of being workers in the kingdom of the Lord, being busy. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for 2023 to be put to bed. I'm ready for... I would also suggest getting a lot of sleep before preaching and maybe think more clearly. 2020 to be put to bed, right? I feel like I'm still kind of in this hangover of 2020. Anybody else feel like that a little bit? Yeah, 2020, 2021. I'm going way back, Hayden. I didn't just misspeak that time. I'm going way back. We're in like a 2-year kind of lull and hangover of sorts because of everything that just kind of got put on hold. And I don't know about you, but just kind of emotionally, spiritually, maybe even physically, I'm still kind of stuck back there, stuck back in time, and it has affected me. And maybe I'm the only one. Maybe I'm preaching to the audience of the mirror this morning, and that's okay. Because it's still, even if that's the case, it's a lesson that needs to be heard. I want to be done with the kind of the lazy approach that I've taken since everything got put on hold a couple of years ago. I want to get better physically. I want to get better mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. I want to see every single day as an opportunity to work in the kingdom and the vineyard of the Lord, as opposed to just kind of coasting along through this life and trying to not necessarily defend myself against the fiery darts of the evil one, but just kind of trying to move and hope he misses, right? There's a different mindset for children of God who are part of the kingdom of God. And there's a reason behind that. And it starts right back here in Ephesians chapter 2. When Paul talks to the Ephesians about what they once were, they were dead in their trespasses and their sins. They were without hope. They had nothing to look forward to. And then God, being rich in mercy because of his love, he made them alive. He made them alive with Christ. He raised them up with him, seated them in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And he's done the same thing for you and me. And then he goes on to describe that work, that whole process of taking dead things and making them alive, and not just making them alive, but setting them in a place where they can be new and be different. Think about all the people that Jesus encountered, especially those that he healed. How many of them, and I don't know the exact number, but it's more than a couple, right? Where where Jesus finds them, he has an interaction with them, whether it is he has healed them of some sickness, or it just he's had some kind of spiritual encounter with them, some kind of conversation. How many of them did he leave them with the kind of closing thought of, go and sin no more, or go and be different, go and be changed? Like, yes, this situation, this little issue that you've been dealing with, that is gone, but did he want them to just go back to living the way they were living? I mean, think about the blind man that he healed from Bethsaida. He said, don't go back to the town. Don't go back there. Be different. Be changed. Live different. And it's what he expected of the Ephesians, and quite frankly, it's what he expects of everybody who's going to be part of his kingdom. Keep on reading what he says about what his expectation is for those whom he has made alive. It says, for by grace you have been saved, verse 8, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. We are the workmanship, the craftsmanship. We are the handiwork of God. You know what else is described in that way? The moon and the stars and all the celestial bodies in our universe. It talks about considering the handiwork of God. And we as human beings are described in that same way. It's a different word, but kind of the same concept. We are the product of great care and concern and craftsmanship. Not just in the way that he created our bodies. I mean, that's amazing enough as it is. But in the way that he brought about redemption for us. In the way that he raised us from the dead and brought us back to life. The way that he's created us new in Christ Jesus makes us the very handiwork of his care and concern for our lives, for our souls. You ever been around anybody who's very skillful in craftsmanship? You see something that they've made and you're just like, How did human hands create such an amazing, intricate piece? How did it happen? How was it even dreamt up in their minds? And you just stand in awe of what this master craftsman has created. We ought to do that every morning when we look in the mirror. Because the work that appears in the mirror every single day is that same amazement that we feel when we see something that someone has created times whatever number you want to put on it. Because God has created us anew in Christ Jesus, and we are the product of his amazing eternal plan that he set in motion, that he had in his mind before he ever said, let there be light. Think about that. So what's the expectation then? What does he expect in return? Or what does he expect, not necessarily in return, but just what does he expect from this point going forward? It says that he created us that way for a specific purpose. And the purpose was good works. Good works. Good works that he prepared beforehand, it says, that we would walk in them. The interesting thing about the New Testament is that it it leaves open a lot of things that the Old Testament would have spelled out very, very specifically. The Old Testament, we're reading the Old Testament. It's, you do this, you do it this many times a year, you do it on this day of the year or this day of the month. You do this every time this occurs. You do it with this animal and you bring it to this place. And you put your left hand on its head and you do this. And you dip this in water and you do it this many times. This is the grain that you bring for this offering. This is the drink that you bring for this offering. This is the animal for this offering. If you borrow something from your neighbor and you break it while you have it, then you need to restore it and then even offer a little bit more. I mean, everything is spelled out for us. New Testament. Do good works. Which ones? Figure it out. And I'm not trying to be too overly simplistic about a reading of the New Testament. There are many, many, many good works that are spelled out for us by commands and the examples that we see of people actually doing those things. I'm not saying that we have no direction or no instruction in the New Testament about the good works that he expects us to do. My point is that God leaves a lot of those good works open to our own understanding of who we are, who he has created us to be, and what our talents and abilities are, what our limitations are, and the right ways that we fit into the kingdom. I mean, and that's a really beautiful way that he has composed this body. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us that he set each person within his body just as he pleased. It was pleasing to the Father to put you within his body, within his kingdom, within his vineyard, exactly where you are. And that is, it's an amazing feeling, right? To know the pleasure of the Father, to know that he's pleased with you just the way he's created you to be. Imagine being a really talented singer, but you're from the tribe of Judah. And it's your dream, your lifelong dream, to worship God at the temple. But because you're not a Levite, because you don't belong to the families of Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, or Ethan, that's not your role within the kingdom. And in the New Testament, in the church, in the kingdom of God, he has placed us within his body exactly the way that he wants us to be. In the parable that Hayden read for us just a few moments ago, he distributed talents, right? He distributed 5 talents to one, 2 talents to another, 1 talent to another. And he made some judgments about that before he distributed those talents. He gave according to their ability, according to what he perceived their ability to be. Did he expect the 1 talent man to gain 5? No. He expected the 1 talent man to use what he'd been given and to grow it. To increase it. To do the work that would allow him to be involved in the overall production of wealth for the master. He's done that same thing for you and I. We all have different abilities and talents. I'm jealous of anybody who can get up here and make announcements. Anybody. I don't want the job. I'm gonna mess it up. I'm gonna mispronounce somebody's name. I'm gonna announce that some visitor is from some island that doesn't even exist. All these things I've done while making announcements. Although I would argue that Germany technically does have an island on the northern coastline. No one lives there. No one even goes there. But I announced that our visiting preacher one time was from there, and that's where he lives. That's where he preaches. We all have different talents and skills and abilities, and the point is, no matter how valuable you may be or how valuable you may feel within the kingdom, whether it's great and ginormous or whether you feel like it's very small, the point is that God wants us to be busy in His kingdom. He wants us to be workers in His kingdom. That's why He created us new in Christ Jesus. That's why He sent Jesus into the world. It wasn't just to wash us up and clean us up for our sins and then to put us in the deep freezer to preserve us for the day when He's going to take us to heaven. No, washing us up, cleaning us up, allowing us to be holy and pure was only the first part of the plan. The second really big part of the plan was for us to go about working in His kingdom. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the kingdom of the Lord. Well, that's an interesting phrase. I want to sing and pray and be busy. How many of us are really singing every day? There's like one family here, right, that sings every day. Let's be honest. It's maybe not something we think about, right? But the idea that we're professing in the song and the idea that Paul's talking about to the Ephesians is that our work in the kingdom, it has to extend in our minds far beyond just the few hours a week that we're assembled together. Our singing praises to God can't just be the 3 to 5 songs that we sing when we're together. It's got to be something that's filling our hearts and filling our homes throughout the week as a healthy reminder of the fact that we belong to a kingdom in which God expects us to do some work. But I'll admit, it's a little bit easier just to turn it on country and sing along with Kenny Chesney. It's just easier. Those songs are more available to us Monday through Friday. But I'm not just talking about what's available out there. I'm talking about what are the things that we want to use to fill our hearts with kingdom thoughts, kingdom ideas, and kingdom work that we can be doing. I want to pray every day. The song says. We all sang that. Do we go days without praying? Or do we go days without really thoughtful prayers? I'm not suggesting to you that our prayers need to be perfect, but to pray with purpose is something. I really appreciated the work that Ethan did this morning when he came up here and prayed for us. Let me tell you how you don't get a prayer like that. Okay? You don't get a prayer like that by checking the board as you've walked in at the last minute and find out that you have the prayer. you get a prayer like that because whether you know you have the prayer that morning or not, I guess I should back up. Maybe you did that. I don't know. But you don't get a prayer like that without thinking throughout the week. The next time I'm praying, here's the things that I'm going to say. When I get a chance to lead my brethren in a conversation with Father, these are the things that are on my mind. These are the things that are on my heart. If we're not thinking about kingdom work every day, if we're not singing about kingdom work every day, if we're not out there trying to figure out what can I do in the kingdom today, then we're just going to continue on in a lazy fog of spiritual apathy. And the kingdom will continue on. Nothing that God does or puts his purpose and his blessing behind is going to fail. It's not going to fail because of us. But we will simply lose our blessing of participating in the work that God is doing. In essence, we're kind of a bunch of Esthers out there, aren't we? Maybe we've been put here for such a time as this. Maybe this is the work that God has called us to. But if we fail to step up and do the work, God's going to bring about His purposes and He's going to accomplish the things that He sets out to accomplish through some other means. But that causes us to lose out on our participation in it and the blessing that we get from being able to participate in the work of the kingdom. We have opportunities every day, I'm sure, to do the work of kingdom work. In fact, when Paul wrote to Titus, one of the very last verses, you know, you think about when you're writing something or saying something important, you kind of begin with something that's important and end with something that's important. I remember seeing an interview with an actor one time who was talking about how he determined whether or not to take parts in a movie. And he said, I read the script, I read the first page, and then I skip ahead and I read the last page. If the character they're asking me to play appears on both pages, I take the part. Why would he do that? Because, well, that means he's important, right? He's important throughout. And we write like that. We talk like that, right? And when Paul wrote to Titus, he said at the very end, right before he finishes the letter with his goodbye, says, Titus, our people need to learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs so that we will not be found unfruitful. And I love the wording of that admonition, to engage good deeds, which means good deeds are not just going to fall in our lap. Some of them do. Some good deeds just literally fall in our laps. And it takes very little effort to go about doing them. But that's not the case for most things in kingdom work. No, there has to be an engagement, a running to good deeds, an eye that's looking out for what can I do in the kingdom today. And when I see the opportunity arise, I'm ready. I'm ready to engage it. I'm ready to pursue it. I'm ready to spring into action. We sang a song earlier about sowing the seed in the kingdom. We talked about reaping on the last great day. Imagine Imagine showing up on the last great day. The day that everybody brings the produce of all that they've been working on since they've been made new in Christ Jesus. And having very, very little to present to God. Because we've not been workers. Because we've not seen kingdom work as a daily opportunity and a daily responsibility in our lives. I'll speak to myself on that one. If it applies, you can make the application. But I know it does with me. I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want 2023 to be the beginning of a renewal in mind and purpose and idea and behavior, to be busy every day in the kingdom of the Lord. And I want to invite you to join me in that resolution. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for the day that you've given to us. Thank you for the safe travels that you've allowed us all to have to be here. We pray for those who aren't able to be here for whatever reasons that may be. We pray, Father, that you would renew us in our minds and our hearts to think about the work in your kingdom that is so vast and so powerful in its purpose. And there's literally millions of things that we could do that would promote and support and further the work of the kingdom. We pray, Father, that we would take very seriously the call that you've issued to all of us to be workers in your vineyard. That we would see daily opportunities to do that work, to be fruitful in that work, to call others to that work. I pray, Father, that you would just help us to start new this year with this mindset of being workers in your kingdom, that we would be able to renew our zeal for you and for serving you and for serving others that maybe we've had in the past and let to slip away some. We ask for your mercy and your grace as we strive to work, knowing that we won't be able to do it perfectly. But we know that we trust and believe and hope in you. We know how good you are. How strong and how mighty, how there's nothing that can't be accomplished when you have put your strength behind it. We just ask, Father, for your patience with us as we strive to get back to being busy in the kingdom every day. Help us to generate new habits and stronger ones, better habits as we go forward. We ask all of this in the precious and mighty name of Jesus, who's created us all in his image. Amen.